Reaching up, making a catch, DK Metcalf!
Don't drop it. Don't drop it. You're in front of everybody. Don't drop it.
He's got it! Wentz made a massive mistake!
Juggled in the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Pittsburgh!
Good pass. Pass is intercepted by Phillips. Pick six! Time to throw. Picked off with the right-hand side. Pick six!
And then Stuart to the wrong guy cost us a game.
You know, we punched him in the face and did what we had to do.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We get people!
Yes.
What they want.
What a wild week 8 in the NFL, the week of the backup quarterback, but we start the show with some bad news. After the Titans got a weird overtime win against the Colts where Carson Wentz threw one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen, we have bad news for the Tennessee Titans. Derrick Henry has an injured foot. He may get season-ending surgery. Does this end the title hopes for Tennessee and the Titans?
Unfortunately, it does. And by the way, and that just highlights the greatness of King Henry. He's one of one in today's NFL. A power back, a three down back that you don't really throw to out of the backfield, yet he can still be your best player on offense and create so much offense that he can run for 2,000 yards. So much offense that he was on a pace going into this week to eclipse that. So for them to lose him, even though they have AJ, even though they have Julio, even though they have Tannehill offensively, the defense was a shell last year. Hasn't been that very much better this year. And based on now losing him, it's unfortunate because you know this is my sleeper in the AFC. And they just had a couple of good weeks and a couple of really good wins, in particular over your Bills Mafia and over KC. So for them to have that momentum and then find a way to win yesterday, but then get this news, that's really devastating for their title hopes.
When we talk about Derrick Henry, we talk about the workload, we talk about the durability, we talk about how he gets better as the season goes on, and we sort of took that for granted because every time he rushes the 25, 30 times a game, you say to yourself, well, it's Derrick Henry, he's very durable. Apparently, not so much. We wish him a speedy recovery. Hopefully, we'll see him back on the field. But I, like you, think that this is the end of the Tennessee title hopes for this season. Jalen, the champions last year, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led by Tom Brady, were going up against the Saints. Always a tough divisional game between these two. And it came down to the very end, where it was this kick that put up the Saints at the end of the game. But there's too much time for Tom Brady, right? Nope. Pick six going the other way. Tom Brady, not magical under 2 minutes, as we all expected watching the game. What do you think about this big win from the Saints, led by their backup quarterback?
Here's a story of a man named Brady. And by the way, we could have used that guy this weekend. My heart's still broken from losing to Michigan State. That's another topic for another day. But the one thing that I saw with Tom Brady, Jacoby, is last year he struggled against this Saints D mightily as well. High turnovers against this team. Wasn't really able to run the football. Anytime Bernard and Fournette aren't able to run the football, Godwin did a really good job of getting open. But let me tell you something I saw watching the game.
What's up?
Just like everybody else, when the Saints got the ball and they were in the red zone, I was like, run it. Sean Payton passed it. Incomplete pass. Terrible decision. Down number two. Gotta run it this time. Passes it again. So clearly he had confidence in his defense. But also, they did a camera shot during that drive and showed Tom Brady. And I, like y'all, was like, they left too much time for Tom Brady because he's the GOAT, right? We've seen this multiple times. But let me tell you what I saw. He was talking to one of his coaches and he was like, watch for the cross, watch for the cross. And I was thinking when I was watching that on TV, I'm like, I know if I see this, I'm pretty sure the defense sees this. And the first play, he almost threw an interception. Remember the first play, yep. He almost threw an interception before he finally threw it. So shout to the Saints. This is a big win for them, especially losing Jameis during the game.
Jameis Winston was injured during the game. Jameis was playing very well before he did get injured. It seems to be somewhat serious. And then Trevor Siemian comes in, like we saw so many backups this week, and played well. This is the horse collar tackle where Jameis got hurt. It doesn't look good, especially when you go down that awkwardly. But I want to give a shout to Trevor Siemian to come into the game not expecting to be the starter. And he wasn't the starter, he was a backup, but not getting reps with the ones all week long, going against a tough Bucs defense at home. And he guided them to a win. He played well enough to win against the Super Bowl champions. Big shout to Trevor Siemian.
And there's something to be said for a team that has a personality. And one of the best shows in professional sports is Reunited, and it feels so good. Kamara and Mark Ingram. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about Bobby and Toby and all of those great acts across professional sports. To see those guys back at the podium yesterday gave me pure joy.
I love having Ingram back in New Orleans with Kamara. Jalen, Cowboys in the night game. Without Dak Prescott, you suggested that they should not play Dak Prescott. He warmed up, he looked good, but he did not play, and it was the Cooper Rush show. Cooper Rush, starting this first game, hadn't thrown more than like a handful of passes in the league in his life, and from the very onset, he looked in control, he made good reads, he was accurate. It was a great performance from Cooper Rush in this one.
We're going to talk a lot about the offense, but they didn't win because of their offense to me. They won because of their defense and how they slowed down Dalvin Cook. But you're right. When he doesn't make the mistakes as quarterback, it allows them the opportunity to have their defense keep them in the game and spread it to those weapons. Wilson came out of nowhere this year. Mm-hmm. Catching and throwing. We know about CD. We know about Amari Cooper, right? And so this offense is definitely complete. But also, let's acknowledge their line. It seems like when their offensive line is healthy also, that's been a game changer for this team. And like you said, very smart not to play Dak. Don't force it. You expect a long season and a long run. See if you can win without your franchise quarterback. They did so. But you know what? We're missing something. Right now, there's a planning for a championship parade taking place in Dallas. Because after every week they win, we celebrate like they just won the Vince Lombardi Trophy. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. Well, they're celebrating in the tri-state area because the Jets were taking on the Bengals. The Bengals off of a big win against the Ravens. Everyone's penciling them into one of the best teams in the AFC. Mike White starts the game, throws for 405 yards and 3 touchdowns. Did have 2 interceptions, but they were off of tip balls. Jalen, Mike White. Trevor Siemian, Cooper Rush, guys just coming out of nowhere and playing well.
Off the top of the dome, Bucks, Chargers, Bengals, bad losses yesterday. And by the way, the Jets head coach, Salah, I actually wanted him when he left the 49ers, a fellow Michigander, by the way, to be the Lions coach. That's what I actually wanted. And so, good win for the Jets, which further solidifies us as being the worst team in football.
Oh,
and
it's
that doesn't
close.
Make me happy per se.
When you talk, when you talk about bad losses, the Lions had the worst loss of the week. The absolute worst loss of the week. It seems like they used to be in games. Remember that Ravens game? Went down to the end with the 4th-and-19. Remember them falling apart with the field goal? Do you remember all that, Jalen? Well, guess what? They're not even close anymore. Not even close anymore. Mr. Rose, what do you have to say for your franchise, which is in jeopardy of not winning a single game all season?
This just hurts my feelings, man. This is not good for my mental health.
No.
My sanity. Man, Slick Rick once said, don't hurt me again. Don't hurt me again. And the Lions do it every week. It just...
At some point,
you told me we was going to beat Philly.
You at some point, you have to look in the mirror through the eye holes in your paper bag and say, I'm doing this to myself. The Lions aren't doing this to me. I'm doing this to myself. You convince yourself the Lions are going to win pretty much every week, and then they let you down. At what point are you going to lower your expectations and just stop watching Lions games?
You promised me, you did, you promised me that we was going to beat Philly. You promised me we was going to beat Philly.
I didn't promise you that, Doc. I would never do that. Look at this. Look at this. You have one game in the rest of the schedule where you have an over 40% chance of winning. There's not a single game in which you're favored. Mm. Most of the games, your chance of winning are in the 20s. You're going to go 0-17. Only the Bears on Thanksgiving. That's your only chance I see in the schedule for you to get a win. And maybe if the Packers rest everybody week 18, that's probably your best chance right there. The last week of the season, Aaron Rodgers in street clothes, they rest the entire roster and play the practice squad, and maybe the Lions get one win there. I feel bad for you. Like, we're close. Like, I have real, like, I love you. And I don't want to see you go through this anymore. It's like watching one of your friends be in a bad relationship. You need to get out of this bad relationship with your football team.
And see, the thing is, we gonna win on Thanksgiving for sure. That's the Super Bowl.
Oh, no.
We definitely
win on Thanksgiving.
That's the
problem right there, Doug. When you say for sure we gonna win, you're doing this to yourself. Do you understand that, Mr. Rose? You're doing this to yourself. Wolverines lost on Saturday. Lions weren't even close on Sunday. It's just it's a bad weekend for Mr. Rose.
It was like 38-0, I think, man. It was like 35-0 after the third quarter.
Jalen, it was a good weekend for Steelers fans who went up against their division rival Browns and did enough. They did enough to get the big win in Cleveland. Are the Steelers actually a team that should be considered as one of the best in the AFC? Seems like, I don't know, every week it changes.
We about to trade for Odell.
Coming to you live from the Seaport in New York City and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby, Jalen Anthony Rose. The Patriots played the Chargers yesterday, and not only did they do enough to win on offense, it was their defense that really stifled Justin Herbert. Jalen, what do you think about this big win for the Patriots over the Los Angeles Chargers in Los Angeles?
And I left out the Chargers when I talked about teams that I felt like had bad losses, or are we going to give credit to the New England Patriots that have started to play football a lot better these last few weeks? In particular, they're gonna look a lot different clearly when their rookie quarterback, Mac Jones, doesn't throw an interception. I believe they're 3-1 in such games, allowing their defense to win it for them. Confusing a young quarterback in Justin Herbert, who, and rightfully so, based on his talent, a lot of us anointed him elite quarterback status. There were some people that said that he might even be in the conversation for most valuable player as this year started. They've had a couple of bad losses these past couple of weeks. Did the Los Angeles Chargers.
I do the same thing all the time.
Showing my age.
Jalen, I don't know what teams are good in the AFC. Obviously, the Derrick Henry injury is a factor. There's the Chiefs that play tonight. There's the Ravens. There's the Bills. And there's also the Steelers, who all of a sudden are playing some good football. We used to consider the Browns one of the best teams in the AFC. Well, those two faced off in Cleveland yesterday. And it was the Steelers' defense and Big Ben doing just enough to get them the 15-10 win. Do you think the Steelers are going to be in the playoffs? Maybe win a round or two in the playoffs?
They have Mike Tomlin, so I believe they'll be in the playoffs. I believe Juju Smith-Schuster is going to miss the rest of the season. Would love to see Claypool start putting up bigger numbers. But I just don't see Big Ben at this point of his career having the durability and the productivity to not only get them through a regular season, but to get them through a postseason run. But let me say something about the Browns, who were also a preseason anointee by a lot of people who felt like they had the best roster in football. And I told you the one thing I was going to be watching for was the Baker and the OBJ relationship, and if they were going to be able to connect. And you know what I figured out? Why everybody else is now paying attention? That OBJ hasn't been productive with the Browns at all. No. It ain't just like been this season. If you compare his numbers with the Giants, even though they didn't win a playoff game, He became a mercurial superstar athlete. One hand catch, cover a Madden. Like, he was trending towards all-time great status. So now we're wondering, is it him? Is it Baker? Is it a little bit of both? All I know is this. If I'm the Detroit Lions, let's trade for Odell.
Oh, please.
You know, let's just trade for Odell. You know what I mean?
Odell will retire before he plays for the Lions.
Jerry Montana need another weapon.
He will retire before he plays for the Lions. So we talk about the preseason anointees in the AFC, one of which was the Bills, of course, as a capo of Bills Mafia. I supported that. But the Bills have stumbled a couple weeks this season, and they also stumbled in the first half against the Dolphins, a game which I thought would be an easy win for the Bills. But in the second half, Josh Allen did his thing and got them this big win. Do you consider them to be one of the top teams in the AFC?
I do, and as a matter of fact, today I figured them to be the best team in the AFC, and here's why. Because while you mentioned Josh Allen, he, for example, is the absolute reason they won yesterday. Like, mm-hmm. He had three touchdowns, right? Two passing, and I believe one rushing. Yep. Has as many rush TDs in his first 50 games as any quarterback ever. I think he tied Cam Newton. He was the reason why they won. But the reason why they've consistently been good this year, nobody's really talking about their defense. And see, to me, that's what separates them from the other teams. Like, I've seen the Ravens defense get shredded. And we know the Kansas City defense has struggled. So has the Titans. So I agree with you and your Bills Mafia. This is a great opportunity for them to seize control of the AFC.
In the NFC, it feels like there's like two or three teams that are kind of outclassing the rest and coming to mind, top of my head, the Cardinals and the Cowboys and the Packers. But in the AFC, that list is like eight teams long. I have absolutely no idea how this is going to shake out as we are at the halfway mark in the season. Time to turn our attention to some basketball, Jalen Rose. You know, we adopted the Hornets, and there's a certain reason that we adopted. Oh, LaMelo Ball. Did he play this weekend? Did LaMelo Ball play this weekend?
And like Josh Allen, he was the reason they beat Dame CJ in the port. Look at that cinnamon roll. Let me roll. We want your mind. You see that? Did you know our guy LaMelo Ball, who's one of the best passers that the league has seen, did you realize, Jacoby, he led both teams in scoring? Mm-hmm. Did you realize that? Oh, LaMelo Ball led both teams in scoring. See, that's the kind of stuff that when you play in a conference like the East that has improved, their rosters improve. You see Scary Terry doing work. Miles Bridges over, has been balling this year. But you know who I was happiest to see getting double figure points? Oh, my guy, PJ Washington. Oh. I'm happy to see him do work.
It was also good to see Oubre play well, who's bounced around a little bit. Now, Mr. Rose, the Brooklyn Nets have had a lot of attention early on in this season, especially James Harden. James Harden put it together yesterday because they were playing the Pistons. What do you think about Harden's triple-double?
No Kay Cunningham. It was great to see him return, and the Pistons beat Orlando. It's funny, when we beat the Magic, it's no big deal, but when the Knicks lose to the Magic, they're gonna go 81-1. But that's another subject for another day. It was good to see James Harden be aggressive. But I ain't gonna lie, Jacoby, like, the things that I see as weaknesses in the Nets, they still stand out, and they're very glaring for me how they're gonna continue to get interior support other than KD.
Well, we always talk about the Nets, and there's another team that we always talk about, and that, of course, is the Los Angeles Lakers, who also are trying to gel, also trying to put together the pieces to get some wins. They got a win yesterday against the lowly Rockets, but it wasn't what they did, it is how they did it, which we want to point out. You're watching Jalen Jacoby. Stay tuned for that and much more right after this. Two big games on ESPN in the NBA on Wednesday night. Two of the best in the East go head-to-head, Trae Young and Kevin Durant, Hawks, Nets, and then the nightcap. I'm staying up past my bedtime because LaMelo Ball is on ESPN at 10 p.m. taking on Steph Curry and the Warriors, and I would never miss that. It's all preceded by Countdown at 7 p.m. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, The Lakers beat the Rockets, but that's not the headline. It's not what they did. It's how they did it. They beat the Rockets, led not by LeBron and AD, but led by Carmelo Anthony and Russell Westbrook. Why is that significant to you?
How about the fact that Carmelo Anthony was just out of the league a couple of years ago, got picked up by Portland, became a starter, now reserved with the Lakers, still getting buckets. Mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook, the offense looks different. You know why? LeBron is allowing Russell to be the initiator of the offense. And it's great to see, for me, LeBron pacing himself, right? And then all of a sudden have the energy and the hops to do a double pump backwards dunk, right? I love that so very much. But if the Lakers are going to win the championship this year, Anthony Davis is going to have to channel his Giannis from last year. So you're going to beat the Houston Rockets during a regular season game, and you're going to see the Lakers struggle at different points of the year. And of course, nobody goes undefeated. But if they're going to win it like I predict, they're going to need a version of AD to be what we saw some of with Giannis last year.
Absolutely. Giannis was dominant last year, and Giannis was in action over the weekend. The Bucks have struggled a little bit out of the gate, and you know who has not? The Utah Jazz. We always said that the Lakers might not be the number one seed in the West, but one of the teams that might be is a very successful regular season team in the Utah Jazz. I hate it when Reggie plays this music.
A talented team with cohesion, right? Normally, you don't have the same squad with the same coach, Quinn Snyder, Gobert, Mitchell, Clarkson, a sixth man of the year. It was great to see Mike Conley have a big game. And so that cohesion to me is why I feel like the Utah Jazz are the second best team right now to the Los Angeles Lakers in the Western Conference.
So Jalen, you mentioned the cohesion, that core group of players rolling over year to year. The same thing is happening with the Chiefs, but they're not winning any games this year. What is wrong with the Chiefs, and can they get right on
Monday night
against the Giants?
Well, they've had a rollover with the defense as well. That's been a big-time struggle. But I anticipate Patrick Mahomes puts on his cape tonight and has a big game.
We'll be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock to talk about it. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast-exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Jalen Rose, we didn't get to all the games during the show. So there's a couple things that we need to discuss. Number one, the Bears lost. But I know you can't keep an eye on them because they're in your division. And Justin Fields didn't look great. But man, there's a couple plays. There's a couple throws. There's obviously that one touchdown run where it seems like the Bears have found their franchise quarterback. They're going to develop him this year. But the Lions are going to have to contest with this man for it seems like year after year after year.
Well, we've and by the way, we've had to deal with Aaron Rodgers. Two underreported things that I'm gonna just say out loud that have to do with sports is I applaud the courage of Enos Kanter, and also, are we gonna ignore that Brett Favre took some PPP money?
Okay, first of all, I asked you about Justin Fields and the Bears, but if you want to talk about it.
You asked me about quarterbacks in my division. Okay. Brett Favre was one. So that makes this relative.
Didn't the Lakers take some PPP money? It seemed like everyone got some PPP money.
Yeah, they did. The Lakers also did. You know what I mean? I just like to point out when people do unethical things, you know what I mean, that go unreported. With that being said, unacknowledged in sports, the way they should, that is. But for your Justin Fields point definitely stands. And we've already anointed him as the greatest quarterback in the history of the Bears. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's got to get out there and play week to week for that to come to fruition. But I agree with you. He's going to be a problem in the division so very much so that we're going to get our first win against him this year. Take that.
Thanksgiving. It's possible. I don't really pay much attention to those percentage chance to win, because if you have 25% chance to win and you play six games, the chances are you're going to win one of those. But
I need to be at that game. You know what? I need to be at that game.
Oh, you're not going to be at that game. You got to hold down the whole family. You got people coming to your house. You got to host. You got to cook. Like, you know you're not going to that game. You know that. And you just, yeah. You're just saying you're going places. You're not doing any of that. Please. So, Jalen, I want to pivot from your Lions to something else. Your Lions have the worst record in football, right? But they're not the worst team in football. If the Jaguars and the Lions play 10 games, I got the Lions winning like 7 or 8 of those games. I was watching this stupid Jaguars-Seahawks game at the end of the game just to see if the Jaguars could score. Like, Urban Meyer can't coach this team next year, right?
He will not be the coach of that team next year. They're going to make sure he becomes the face of their dysfunction this year. And next year, I'm pretty sure they'll find a way to go in a new direction. But I disagree with you about the best team and the worst team in football, and here's why. Yesterday, my Lions quit. So, like, all of that, like, social, emotional equity that people have been giving us for moral victories, we was losing 38-0 yesterday to Philadelphia.
To Philadelphia?
You know what I mean? Like that. Like, and it was great to see my guy Jalen Hurts not even have to like have a Superman type game.
Oh, he didn't do much. I think he only threw the ball like 17 times or something. Like, they were just running all over your Lions defense. Isn't Dan Campbell supposed to be a tough, in the trenches, hard nose, old school style football? There was none of that. None of that.
And it was good to see my guy Big Play Slay return. We made sure that we pay homage and salute to him as we do our former Lions.
Let him score a touchdown. That was nice of y'all.
And we allow him to score more than we did. You know what I mean?
Single-handedly as a defender. Outscored the Lions.
The problem is he plays defense, for those that don't know. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, we're 0-8 now. 0-8.
Yeah, you are.
Not even halfway there.
So let me just go big picture with you on something, all right? Because I'm confused about the AFC. So I'm looking at the standings of the AFC right now. Titans 6-2. Raiders 5-2. Ravens 5-2. Bills 5-2. Bengals 5-3, just lost to the Jets. Steelers just got a win. Chargers just lost to the Patriots. And those are the only teams above 500 right now. I don't know who's good in the AFC. If I had to put my money on someone, it would be the Bills. Or the Ravens.
This is a golden opportunity for the Buffalo Bills to take a stranglehold not only on the conference, but to actually win the conference. Shout to the Raiders who still play good football, and I know our producer Demetrius is happy about that. When we mentioned a lot of other good teams in the league on the show, we didn't even mention the Raiders. And so they deserve, you know, to get their accolades. I don't see them as a true contender, though. So if you're Buffalo, when you really look at the landscape, it's like the Chargers showed their flaws in a couple of their bad losses, in my opinion.
Derrick Henry's out.
The Chiefs defense, like Bart Scott said, can't stop a nosebleed. And the other team you said was the Steelers.
Ravens, Steelers, Bengals, Chargers.
Yeah, I would not have relied on Big Ben to be my quarterback this year. That's just me.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would have found a way to pay homage to the OG by saying, hey, dog, I'll give you a job with the team. You know what I'm saying? We'll give you this money. We'll give you a job with the team. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to see what else we got happening. And the Ravens, who you know I love them so very much. So for me, I see Josh Allen and Lamar have a great opportunity to upend what we already deemed the Patrick Mahomes era with one Super Bowl championship.
So, Jay, I'm still terrified of the Chiefs. I don't care how bad they play. I don't care how many wins they have. I don't care how many teams score points on them. I don't care any of that. In a playoff scenario, still worried about the Chiefs. Still worried about the Chiefs.
Well, let me tell you a couple of things I want you to consider. That'll help you, that you probably should consider when you talk about not being worried. The number one thing is something that people are never gonna discuss. They got a terrible offensive line.
Yep, that was the problem in the Super Bowl. I wore a clown suit because of that, dog.
See, like what ends up happening and rightfully so. The glory positions get discussed. So we're going to talk about the skilled players on offense, and we're going to talk about the big names on defense, but we're never going to discuss the trenches. And all I know is this, since the Super Bowl, and by the way, in that game, Patrick Mahomes was injured, got surgery this offseason. Since that game, he been running for his life, dog.
If you watch every one of Patrick Mahomes' interceptions this season, there's not too many where he's standing in the pocket, steps up, and then just throws an interception.
Yeah,
a lot of times he's running to his right or his left, or he's running backwards, he's throwing it up, doing the crazy
Patrick Mahomes stuff. You know who he looking like to me this year? Russell Wilson. A great quarterback with no offensive line. That's what that looks like to me. And via their greatness, they still find ways to be successful. So, like you, while I'm saying Bills and Ravens, you got to be looking in the rearview mirror at the Chiefs.
You absolutely have to. And we'll see if they can get together. And I'm concerned about Jameis, man. I'm so concerned about Jameis. That did not – I mean, listen, I've seen Giannis Antetokounmpo look like he snapped his leg in half, but he, like, finished the game. So who knows? I'm not a doctor, but that didn't look good, the sort of horse-style tackle and crumpling back on his legs. But to watch him dancing in the post-game with the crutches, I want him to be on the field. I want him to have a good year. I don't want to see Taysom Hill.
You know, one of the things I want to make sure I say about Jameis is that his first couple of years, he's one of the most productive quarterbacks that the league has seen. Yards, touchdowns, and unfortunately, interceptions. And going to New Orleans humbled him as he took a one-year deal, didn't play, and saw other quarterbacks, I'm sure, around the league get opportunities that he felt like he's better than. And then the team that drafted him,
they started Taysom Hill over him for like four games in a row. That's humbling.
Yes. And then the team that drafted him, the Bucks, not only move on, but they move on with Tom Brady and win the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? And so for him now to get this opportunity and then for him to get injured, I agree with you. I hope it isn't season ending or anything extended, because I really wanted to see him quarterback this team, because their roster changed. And you know how much I love Alvin Kamara. He just glides like Gale Sayers to me. But this is a defensive-led team now. And the heartbreaks that they've had in the postseason the last few years, like, you want heartbreak? Look at how the Saints lost the last couple of years in the playoffs. And so I, like you, hope Jameis is able to return and give them a legitimate chance to be their best version of themselves.
Gentlemen, we were talking about the AFC, and we were talking about the Chiefs and everything. One thing I do want to say about the Buffalo Bills and the Bills Mafia, if they get home field advantage, it's a tough place to play when it's cold. It's Canada up there, man, and it's snowy, and it's windy, and it's cold, and if you're a dome team or you're a warm weather team and you got to go up there in January, that's not fun. That's not fun.
I'll never forget being a youngster, right? And the Bengals and the 49ers played the Super Bowl early 80s in Detroit. And I remember thinking, man, that's messed up for Cincinnati. Like, they play in Ohio where it get cold. Like, if the game was outside, like, they'll have a better chance to win. Mm-hmm. And then I transferred that to the division my team plays in. And I was like, wait a minute. The Packers play outside.
Yep.
The Bears play outside.
Yep.
Maybe if we took advantage of our weather, we'd be a better team.
Yeah, you might
and
win
then
a
I
game
realized something.
You might win one game a season if you take advantage of the weather. Maybe one.
And then I realized something. It's best to create an indoor comfort environment if you're going to be so bad for so long. Because if the games were outside, no one would ever go.
No one.
This was actually genius. This was actually genius.
Well, we got to talk about something. it's Saturday, and a lot of times the Saturday news doesn't make it to the Monday show. But the Michigan Wolverines had a game against Michigan State, and I really thought that they were going to win. I was confident. They didn't win.
A few things. Like, if you think it pains me to be a Lions fan, you could not imagine how I felt the last 15 or 20 years being dominated by Ohio State and Michigan State. Like, those games, like, I can't even lie, fam. Like, after that game the other day, I was just, like, emotionally drained. I was just like, I could, dog, we let somebody get 5 touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? Like,
not in like, the season, in a game.
Like, dog. Walker the third is dope. Big shout to him. And shout to our receiver, Anthony. He played well. It was good to see him do a couple of catches and have, I think, 2 TDs. But, dog, he rushed for 5 touchdowns, dog. 5 of them. You know what I'm saying? And then here's the other thing. The last couple of years, we talked about we need a quarterback. 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 So now we have a quarterback. We're up 16 in the game in the third quarter. It gets to the fourth quarter. We take the quarterback out of the game. Did that happen? Like, did that actually happen? And then, of course, when the backup comes in, unlike in Dallas yesterday in the NFL, or unlike with whoever backup in the NFL,
New York,
our backup comes
Saints.
In. Right. Everybody, like, the whole world can use a backup this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah,
we put a backup in for one possession. We put a backup in for one possession. Fumble. Fumble. And then, here's what now is going to take place. And this is the first time you've ever heard me say this. If we don't beat Ohio State this year, the chirps for Harbaugh job are going to get real loud. Now, the last 14 times we've played Michigan State, we've lost 10 of them. And I want you to know something. It's one thing to lose to Ohio State. And by the way, can you look this up? I'll keep talking while you Googling.
Okay.
Of the last 20, like Mariah's 21. So of the last 21 or so years, 21 years, how many times has Ohio State beat us? And while you're looking that up, I'll tell everybody else why that's important. Because it's one thing to lose to Ohio State when they're a top 3, top 4 team in the country. And then there are other teams that pop up. Penn State's popped up. Wisconsin's popped up. Purdue's popped up. Northwestern's popped up. Like, teams in the Iowa's popped up. Like, there's going to be other teams in the Big Ten to pop up. Michigan State bottomed out under Dan Toney so very bad that he got fired. And coming into this year, you know what Michigan State was ranked? They weren't.
Yo, since 2000, Michigan has won 3 games.
Talk to me. I'm not exaggerating.
Since 2000, and they won in 2000. So if you go to the last 20 years, they've won twice. Twice.
So they've won 18 and we've won 2.
Yeah, that's a 2-18 record.
Correct. And
so if you add the preseason games, it's basically what the Lions are going to end up this year.
And so let me do some math, because I'm not the smartest person, but this is what's not going to bode well for Jim Harbaugh. So we lost 10 of 14 to Michigan State, and we lost 18 of 20. So that means we lost 28 of 34 games against Michigan State and Ohio State. Sure. That's unacceptable. And I'm not going to put all of those wins on Jim Harbaugh's, all of those losses on Jim Harbaugh's tab.
Let me tell you something, Jay.
But that's why we hire him.
Between 1897 and 1918, you guys dominated, though. Like 100 years ago, dominated. There's two ties for the Buckeyes. They didn't even get a win in that whole 20 years. So a century ago, you guys were on top.
You ready for this? But here's the quandary that the Michigan Wolverines are in. My team, that I'm an alum, that I'm a donor, that I'm a season ticket holder. The quandary is, are you going to get a better coach than Jim Harbaugh?
Urban Meyer in the Urban's Pint House comes to Ann Arbor. Grinds out victories.
So here's what I want everybody to think about now, because we've lost 28 of 34 games against Michigan State and Ohio State. If I had to use a word, that's awful, right? But the problem is, as a Michigan fan, I can't even with a straight face say that we should replace Jim Harbaugh. And the reason why, will we get a better coach?
I mean, that's the thing. It's always like the all-star snubs or just like the top 75 players. It's kind of like, well, all right, let's say we fire Jim Harbaugh tomorrow. Like, who's walking through the door? You know, like, who's walking through the door?
That's our quandary. Because you can say what you want to say about Jim Harbaugh, and the record speaks for itself against those two teams. He's actually a good coach.
I got the coach from Michigan. Juwan Howard. Have him coach football and basketball. Have him coach both.
Now Jim Harbaugh's problem is, I believe he was getting paid in the range of a top three to top five coach. Now he's not the best coach in the state of Michigan. That's a problem. Mm. But for all my fellow Wolverines, be careful what you wish for. I am not here as an alum, as a donor, as a sponsor saying fire Jim Harbaugh. And if you are saying fire Jim Harbaugh, tell me who you're gonna get the checkbook out and give the $7 million to replace him.
Jalen, how was your Halloween? What happened? Were you at the house giving away candy, watching football? What was your Halloween?
So, I was hanging out with Gracie and her friend Danny. G Money and her team advanced to the finals in volleyball.
Oh.
She was out there getting blocks and spikes and
kills. Like her. I like what they call them, kills. Kills.
Blocks, spikes, kills, digs. Yeah. Like she was balling. And like her. A volleyball team, like, I just appreciated watching them grow all season. And she's a sophomore, and they've never been to state. Like, never even, like, been to state, let alone make the Final Four and now going to be in the finals. So on Sunday, she's getting some candy so she can get ready to trick-or-treat and be one of the best houses in the neighborhood. You know, Gracie took pride in getting big candy bars for the larger kids and making sure they had Funyuns and Fritos. Like, she's invested.
Good for
you know
her.
What I mean?
So wait, I appreciate it. Time out. The States hasn't happened yet?
They played the Final Four game on Saturday and won. The championship game is next Saturday.
Oh, wow. State championship?
State champions.
Wow. Runs in the family. Runs in the family.
I told her. And here's what I told her. I just recently saw an interview that somebody posted. I think it was Scoop B. And I retweeted it or whatever. And it showed me doing an interview after we won a state championship when I was 17,
with
my
the
junior year.
Prospectors. Yes. Jersey on. I saw
Southwest. Southwest. And the only thing that I saw in that interview, I was actually proud of myself, dog. Like, I was articulate. You know what I'm saying? I didn't, instead of saying anybody, no, you know what? Like, instead of saying nobody, I said anyone. Like, I was just looking, I was like, you know, I was like, you know, I was proud of the young fella. And then it reminded me of something. How did people start to portray me as dumb when I got to college? I'm like, when did that happen? I remember getting to school and people was like, is Jalen gonna stay eligible? Like, my grandmother got the articles, dog. My grandmother cut out the articles. They cut out the articles. Like, is he gonna be able to stay eligible? Like, the whole time, they were like, wait a minute. Like, see, Will went to Country Day, so we know he's good, but Jalen gonna struggle academically. I'm like,
where do you get this information from?
Like, I'm like, yo. And so I bring that up because the only thing I talked about in that interview was the one we lost the year before. I wasn't even happy. We had just won the PSL, the city, the state, and the national championship. When you see me do that interview, I wasn't even happy. I was mad that we lost the year before. And so what I told her, the only way you can win three in a row is to win the first one. That's what I told her. And so that's what I'm looking forward to her and her squad doing. And shout to Kennedy and Naya. Like, her, them two and Gracie at the front of the net, fam, is like the best 3-4 defense of all time.
Yes.
Like, when they rotate to the front of the net, ain't nothing happening. Like, I'm gonna post a picture of them. Like, I at first I wasn't gonna do it, but I'm like, I'm doing it. Cause like, they be out there balling, you know what I'm saying?
Good for you.
And
good
just
for
so you know, Gracie did a spike, hit somebody in the face and made him fall. I would have posted it, but like, it's a high school kid. Yeah, you know what I mean? I don't want to make it look bad. Right.
Yeah, but you, like, so right. what percentage of you felt bad? What percentage of you felt bad for the girl she hit? What percentage of you felt proud for Gracie for doing it?
Well, two games before I came, she did that to another girl and broke her nose and she was bleeding. Like, I was proud of her. That's become part of the game. Part of the game. And the thing is, when that happens, like, I'm not the quiet parent at the game, just so you know. Like, I'm cheering, I'm chanting, all that. Like, I make a lot of enemies for the other team, I'm sure. There are a lot of people that go to those games and they see me before the game and I take a picture with them and they were showing love and, oh, that's Jalen, yeah, oh, I'm a fan of the show. When the games start, I'm heckling they kids.
They're deleting. First of all, I played pickup basketball with you against old men, not still talking trash. I've been to boxing matches with you where you're louder than the corner of the boxers. I've been to UFC fights where we're sitting halfway up and they can still hear you. I've been to basketball games where we sat close and basketball games where we sat away from the court. Every single one of the people knows you're there. All 20,000 people know you're there every time we go somewhere. You just
absolutely
can't turn it off. You can't turn it off.
I didn't, let me tell you when I realized that I was loud. Like, to be honest, my whole career, I didn't realize I was loud, but that was one of my advantages. I realized I was loud when the pandemic hit and we started wearing masks. And I went to the Pistons game. I'm like, hold on. They can't hear me right now. This ain't loud enough. You know what I'm saying? And I felt handcuffed a little bit because this was at a period of time where you couldn't take off your mask. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We all remember the different phases of masks. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, I ain't going back until I don't have to wear a mask.
They got that club open? The club open?
You ready for this?
I'm going to the club.
You ready for this? If you really want to go, you should come go with me tomorrow night.
I can't make it tomorrow night.
You should come go, because I'm going to the game tomorrow night to see Giannis and the Bucks come to Detroit. I'll be at the game, for sure. And I'll be there to watch Cade Cunningham's second game. Absolutely.
All I know is I have two words before we go.
Killian Hayes.
Bing bong.
Oh.
Bing bong. 7:30 tonight against the Raptors. Knicks look to go 6-1, top of the Eastern Conference.
They're gonna beat the Raptors. I can't wait.
Bing bong. Jalen, we'll be back tomorrow to talk about Monday Night Football and the Knicks' big win over the Raptors and much, much more. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.